Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus talks about our connection to him and how we remain his disciples. And to get this important message across to us, Jesus chose to use a picture of a grape vine and its branches to talk about our relationship with him. Our text is John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Let us pray. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care and take us to heaven to live with you there. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us that because of our sin, our original sin, and our actual sinning, you and I separate ourselves from God. Sin cuts a person off from the Heavenly Father, who is the source of all physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. And because of our sin, the only fate that we can really expect from God the Father is to be cast aside, to be thrown into the fire of hell, to be burned there forever. For the wages of sin is death. And that's truly bad news. That's somber news for all of us, especially today. It's such a beautiful day, Sunday morning. But that's not all the news this morning. There's good news and joyous news for us as well. And just joyous news is to be found in the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is good news about our relationship with God the Father, which was destroyed by our sin. That relationship has been mended by his Son, Jesus Christ. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God the Father's solution to the problem of our fate in hell because of our sin is to graft us into his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's be clear about what the scripture says and understands about the word graft and what it means. When you hear the word graft, there are a number of different meanings that might come to mind. A common usage of graft in our society today, and it comes from the political realm, and I'm very conscious of this, you know, that it could apply to some official corruption or taking a bribe, often money, to do certain things. People try, but they can't bribe God. God's not on the take. God takes no bribes. In medicine, graft has to do with taking a piece of your own skin and moving it to some other place on your body, or taking a piece of somebody else's living tissue and putting it on another person. However, the word of God, use of graft, really isn't a medical understanding of graft either. Rather, God's word uses graft that has to do with farming and agriculture and that understanding and use of grafting. As some of you know, but not all of you, as a boy, I grew up in Southwest Portland, Oregon. And one day, I can remember my dad, he brought home a new apple tree. And he had a number of them planted in the backyard. And what was unique about this apple tree was that it had five different varieties of apples. And he told me that. And I said, well, how can that be? And then he told me it all had to do with grafting. And you know what I asked? I said, what's grafting? Well, then he told me to look carefully at four of the branches of that new apple tree. And then he went on to explain that a man there at the nursery had grown this young apple tree, a certain variety, and it had four branches, top and then four around. And then at one time, he carefully cut on an angle about halfway up on each branch, those four branches. And next, then he carefully cut off a similar sized branch from a different variety of apple tree, four. And then taking one branch at a time, he firmly inserted the edge into the cut branch. Then he wrapped something around it to hold the two together. Once that was done, my dad said, the sap started running from the young apple tree into that branch that had been grafted, connected onto that tree. After a short time, the two branches became one branch, and the binding material then was removed. And the four grafted branches were now part of the new young apple tree that I helped my dad plant. And over the years, there were five different kinds of apples from that one apple tree that we enjoyed, all because of grafting. Well, God the Father's solution to everyone's fate in hell because of their sin for each individual person is to be grafted into his Son, Jesus Christ. Grafting into Jesus, you and I then can grow in union with Jesus, who says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus' forgiveness, like that sap that flew into those little branches, Jesus' forgiveness flows into our deadness with new spiritual life that only Jesus can give a person. 1 John 5 verse 12 speaks about this in absolute terms. It says, whoever has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Grafted into Jesus gives you and me and anyone else life. Since sin, though, cuts a person off from God the Father and makes them spiritually dead, how is it that you and I are now branches grafted into Jesus? Well, it all goes back to our baptism. You know, we had the baptismal font here before. We heard in our first reading today that the Ethiopian said, what's to prevent me from being baptized? We were grafted into Jesus Christ at our baptism. God the Father reached down to you and me through his word, which accompanies the water of holy baptism. As a vine dresser cleans the grape shoot he grafts into the grapevine, so God cleansed you and me of all of our sins. God forgave all of our sins through Jesus and for Jesus' sake. God made us holy. God joined you and me to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God gave us the gift of faith, and God made us his children and heirs of eternal life. When it comes to true spiritual life, you and I can only get sustenance for our spiritual life from Jesus Christ. Only in the vine, Jesus Christ, can our new life be nourished day by day. Our spiritual lifeline is God's means of grace, God's word, and the sacraments. Through these, the Holy Spirit keeps us spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit keeps us able to produce the fruits of our faith in Jesus. It's clear from John 15, verses 1 through 8, that Jesus knew something about agricultural art of grafting. Jesus knew that. He states, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Unless you abide in me. 10 times in John 15, Jesus used the Greek word meno. Meno means abide. For instance, Jesus said, unless you abide in me, whoever abides in me, abide in my love, to name a few. The critical issue is not whether Jesus will abide with us, or his promise that nothing can snatch us out of our hand, his hand. The question is, will you and I abide in Jesus? Will we stay grafted into Jesus? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But you and I can choose to have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We can choose to live without Jesus. You and I can voluntarily separate ourselves from Jesus. The tragedy around us today is that many people have indeed voluntarily and consciously separated themselves from Jesus the vine. And so our Lord doesn't want that to happen to any of us. But if it does, praise God, because a person can be regrafted into Jesus. Therefore, Jesus pleads with us, abide in me. You and I are nothing without Jesus. The Holy Spirit, who has grafted us into Jesus, keeps us connected to Jesus through the Word of God. Now grafted into Jesus, we draw on Jesus' power, Jesus' love, Jesus' mercy, Jesus' grace to live as his disciples and for fighting off those urges to live as though we didn't need Jesus anymore in our life. The end result, though, of our life being connected to Jesus Christ is that you and I bear fruit for God. That's important. That's what God, the Heavenly Father, deeply desires. He even requires. Remember, he prunes so that we can produce more fruit. Everyone who is grafted into Jesus should be producing fruit. And God himself enables you and me to bear fruit, to bear and produce good works. That's why we're pruned. That's why we're disciplined by God. To keep our old sinful nature in check that continues to sprout up. And to get rid of all those sins that we continually commit day in and day out. We are carefully tended by our Lord. We're fertilized by his word so that we can continue to bear fruit. Ephesians 2 verse 10 states it this way. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's no wonder then that the Word of God encourages you and me in various places to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, to bring forth the fruit of God, to be fruitful in every good work. As a grapevine cannot bear grapes, that's its fruit, through its branches, that's how it does it. So indeed, Jesus works in the world, and what Jesus wants done is accomplished through his disciples, including you and me. For example, our mouth speaks Jesus' truth for him. Our hands work for Jesus. Our feet run errands for Jesus. In Galatians 5, some of this fruit is called the fruit of the Spirit, and it's listed as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit or good works never is the cause of our salvation. Fruit or good works is always a result of our being grafted into Jesus and our faith in him. By the grace of God, we are truly blessed to be grafted into Jesus. May we continue to draw our spiritual life from Jesus the vine, with Jesus' love flowing into us individually. You and I grow, and you and I mature as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit keeps us attached to Jesus, we will continue to bear much fruit and prove to be Jesus' disciples, to the glory of God the Father. In faith, we confess again with the hymn writer, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, live that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.